Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson, and available wherever fine podcasts are available. Be sure to hit that subscribe button because those dirty snakes over at YouTube, man, they're unsubbing people left and right. It's a nefarious plot, Larson. That's my new working conspiracy theory. I'm going to have a whiteboard with those little thumbtacks with like strings.
Yeah, you need the string connecting all your bits of evidence.
You're on board with me?
No.
No!
I'm just making sure that if you're going to do this, you're going to do it correctly.
Throwing cold water on my conspiracy.
Not going to happen.
Cold water Larson. We're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/ Steven Larson. Right before we started rolling camera, I told you we've got 951 patrons right now. We're on the road.
To 1,000.
What are we going to do at 1,000 patrons, Larson?
We should probably do something special.
We should do something very special.
How about this?
Pizza party.
How about this? A challenge.
Oh,
if
no.
If we get 1,000 patrons by next Sunday,
oh, man,
we will live stream Backlash, make it a Backlash pizza party.
Hold on. We're going to actually live stream the literal pay-per-view.
No, our reaction. Sorry, we can't do that. That's illegal.
That is
cold
illegal.
Water on that on your scenario once again.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. Well, I'm just making sure. I'm throwing some cold water on you. I like that idea. Live stream our reactions to Backlash
pizza
plus
party.
Pizza party.
Maybe beer, too.
Will we? Oh, beer. I was going to say maybe soda and cake. So this is a great thing about being adults. Is that we can... I've been an adult now for... Why did you just look at my hair? That was weird.
No, I was reacting to cake and soda. I don't eat sugar.
Right.
I don't want any of that.
Cake and soda. Can I have cake and soda?
All you want.
It's a great thing being an adult. You can do whatever you want, like within the boundaries of the law. And I believe it's a lawful thing to have pizza, cake, and soda while watching wrestling, while live streaming. Right?
Okay, yeah, it is.
I think it is, man.
I don't want any of the sugar, though. I'm not interested in that.
Well, let me ask you this. If I get a Shinsuke Nakamura-themed cake... To celebrate 1,000. You're not going to have any of it?
No.
No?
No.
What if I take like the frosting off? If I scrape the frosting off, you just have the cake part?
No. There's still sugar in the cake, man.
It's a very special occasion, though. All right. Well,
I might reconsider if there's pie involved.
I don't know if you guys have seen the Mecca Congress Under Mecca Santa
shirt. Yeah, it's a good looking shirt.
It's available right now at prowrestlingtees.com/going.
If I have time this weekend, I have two shirt designs I want to get done.
Well, we need to get 10 shirts by Backlash.
What are we at, 9?
8.
Oh, yeah. Piece of cake.
Piece of cake. You're going to have some cake?
No, pie. If it's pie, I'll consider it.
Banana cream pie. Yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura themed banana cake cream pie.
Still a lot of sugar.
Oh, it's so good, though.
I know.
Real bananas. Did you get potassium? Austin Aries isn't fighting at this one, but at Extreme Rules, he's going to win that title off Neville. You know he's going to. He can't have 3 matches and not win the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on. Speaking of Austin Aries and Neville, we're going to talk about some 205 Live, and then after that, some NXT. We got show notes right here.
This was some quality WWE Network programming the last couple days. I really enjoyed both programs.
I'll agree completely and totally with you. 205 Live, I saw a tweet from our good friend, Jason the Cabbie. No, was it him or Fenris? One of those fine fellas. And he said 205 Live, I think it was Fenris, said 205 Live is the best thing WWE has to offer these days. And then he corrected himself with the exception of NXT. This week alone, I am actually in agreement with that statement.
Yeah, when they do
205 Live was really good.
Yeah, when they do 205 Live right,
yeah,
it's pretty hard to beat.
You got to take the crap crowd out of it because they're always exhausted. I get that.
I feel like the crowd for this week's episode was pretty good.
They were more into it. They did a really smart thing. They start off with Jack Gallagher.
Yes.
He's one of their own, and they were chanting Jackie Boy to him. This was a really, really... I thought I was very entertained by this segment. So Jack Gallagher comes out. He's got the Union Jack everywhere.
Yes.
All on the ring post and everything. He's in his dapper attire. He calls out Austin Aries to basically thank him for help giving him the assist after TJP assaulted him.
Yes.
Last, what, Monday.
On Raw. Yeah. And then Gallagher says that he will reciprocate and that he will have Austin Aries' back come Extreme Rules.
That's right.
And then he says, let's toast. I'm going to toast you, Austin Aries. And he produced a couple beers, a couple pints.
Pints. There you go. They're in England, so they're pints.
And I thought this
he
was
got
funny.
Them at the local public house, I think.
Yes. It was pretty funny because Austin Aries said he was more of a red wine guy and the crowd was getting him heat.
Oh, yeah.
And thinking on his feet, he said, no, it's good for the heart.
They're full of antioxidants,
it's
people.
Good for the heart, yes.
He's so natural.
He is.
He is so absolutely confident and natural. Austin Aries is really a guy that you'd like love to shoot the breeze
yes.
with, you know? Unless maybe he's a real big jerk. I have no idea. But he comes across as a guy who's really cool.
Yes, right as they're about to toast, Jack Gallagher was singing He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
Yeah. Austin Aries was very touched by
yes.
how far.
The gesture, yes. Neville comes out.
Oh, this was great because
starts cutting a promo.
Hold on. The pyro hits and you hear just like I get started.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never get used to being in a WWE live event when the pyro goes off because it always makes me shit my pants.
No, like the last two times I've warned you. Here comes the pyro. And you still jump.
I'm oblivious, man. And Gallagher did the exact same thing when Neville's pyro went off. He's like, oh, bloody hell. I think it was legit. That's the thing about it.
That's pretty good.
I think it was legit. Neville comes down, looks like $1 million. He starts ripping on the English crowd, saying that you've become a parody of yourself. Oh, it was fantastic. I love Neville. We need to do a count out. Top 10 talkers in the business right now.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because Neville.
Let's do it today.
Neville is up there, man. No, we got something special planned.
Oh, yeah.
Next week. We got something very special.
All right, we'll make a note of that so we don't forget.
We're doing something new, man.
So, yeah, while Neville's talking, TJP comes out and attacks
right.
Both Gallagher and Austin Aries.
Yeah.
They all fight.
This is a really good feud here. And bringing in Jack Gallagher is so organic and natural, and
yes.
it's just adding more to it. It's great.
Yes, it is great. Austin Aries and Jack Gallagher get the upper hand.
Right on my
heels.
Great.
Heels flee.
Yeah.
And then Austin Aries and Jack Gallagher proceed to have their toast, and Aries chug that beer quickly.
Yeah, he did. That dude is obviously, he might say he's more of a red wine guy, that's fine, but maybe back in his college days, I don't know, he learned how to chug a beer.
Yeah.
Because you're watching, what was that? I think it was on the Guinness World of Records. We used to watch,
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
We loved that show.
Yeah.
Who were the guys on there? There was the two-faced, I think it was Two-Faced Chang. And he was like a fellow with from Asian descent, and
he had another
mouth over here.
And there was the guy that had the fake nose, right?
Oh yeah. There was that guy, but there was also just a dude who could chug a beer really fast.
Yeah. Well, there was two shows. There was the Guinness Book of World Records, and there was the Medical Miracles one.
Oh yeah. Oh, then I think that dude. There was a guy in there where he like had to have his lower intestine attached to his esophagus.
Yeah.
And so like it only takes like his food just goes in and comes right out. Well, they didn't show the poop part. But anyways, that was good. Then we had Rich Swann and Noam Dar backstage. Noam Dar looked very dapper in a suit.
He did.
He looked very dapper in a suit. And I'm glad he didn't forget any of his lines. I can tell that's a thing with him.
Yeah.
That's a process with him when he says his words, when he says like the backstage vignette, like dialogue. he's really looking for those words, man.
He is.
He's not saying them as if they're natural. He's saying them as if he's
Well,
like,
he always takes a pause before he starts saying anything.
I know.
To make sure he has his lines
he
right.
He is not in the moment. He is strictly trying to remember these damn
yes.
lines. But I still love him. I think he's still great. And the accent kind of covers that. I'm sure if like we were Scottish and we grew up with the accent, we'd probably know this guy's a terrible actor. But like because of the accent, we're American. We're like, oh, he's great, only because he's speaking in a Scottish accent. Anyways, they're backstage. Rich Swann sort of expressing some curiosity over the fact that
as to why Noam Dar would accept Alicia
right.
Fox back.
After
yes,
she kind of ran him down before. And they bring up Cedric Alexander. Then later on, there was a Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, package. That's very exciting.
That was awesome. So yeah, then what is it? Dar says, fine, whatever you guys want to do. He starts to walk away, and then, Rich Swann says, whatever you guys want to do. Noam Dar sort of holds him back. Now, what did he say? Sort of gave him some more crap, I think.
Yeah.
Sort of got a little sinister with Rich Swann.
A little bit.
Yeah, so that's still happening. Let's see here. Then we had the premier athlete.
This was a fantastic match, and it was the best match Tony Nese has put on since he's been on 205 Live.
Man, I love Tony Nese. I wonder what they're going to like. It's good. I'm glad that he's sort of being a heel.
Yeah.
Because if he was just a straight face, like it would be, personality wise, be boring, but it's smart to make him a heel to start.
Yes, definitely. But this was a fantastic match. I feel like they gave this almost half the show.
Dude, they gave this a long time.
A lot of time. They let it really develop. Both Tony Nese, Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, because there were only two.
There's only two matches.
Actual matches, yeah.
Put forth fantastic efforts. Great match. You know, they called Tony Nese, they have, the premier athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, I can't really think of any instance where he's actually shown off athleticism beyond just being ripped.
He did that some.
And he did the moonsault last night.
Yeah.
Earlier this week. And he did a couple other things outside. I was like, okay, this is what I want to see. I want to see, Corey Graves says all the time, he moves like a cruiserweight, hits like a heavyweight.
Right.
Usually, we only see the latter half of that.
Right.
I want to see all that.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's a process where they're finally letting the cruiserweights do what they do best. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because both Nese and Ali showed off what they could really do, and it was great.
Yeah. Kind of sad. It's still the ninth most watched show on the network.
And if they keep doing shows like this, that'll improve.
I know. It will. They need to solve that crowd thing. They need to get it out of being.
And 205 Live has two of the best feuds on the Raw brand.
It does, yeah. In the company. In the company, it really does. And so backstage the entire time, of course, Drew Gulak was watching and being disapproving.
But here's an interesting development in the storyline, because Drew Gulak and Tony Nese, they have been aligned at one point. So last night with Tony Nese, doing some high-flying moves, is that going to cause some tension between Tony Nese and Drew Gulak going forward?
That's a good point.
So we could be on the precipice of a Tony Nese face turn.
That could be. Regardless of what happens with it, I hope you're right that they include him within this, because they need to. They've totally done this with their A program with Neville, Aries, TJP, and now Gallagher. But they need to find ways to incorporate other people into feuds, get them a bit more. It can't just be one-on-one stuff.
Yeah. Because so far, by and large, on 205 Live, when they start bringing in people into feuds to to increase the scope of them, they've done a really good job of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've done a really good job of it. Mustafa Ali picks up the win with an inverted 450. Again, great match. If you haven't got a chance to watch it, check it out.
Yeah, it's really, really fantastic. Good. It's really good. We had Daivari backstage, and as he's walking through the hallway, Tozawa and him accidentally bump shoulders.
Yes.
And Daivari, they both stop, and Daivari lays into him, says, "This shirt costs $1,500. It's made of the finest silk from Dubai."
Mm-hmm.
And Tozawa just responded with his,
"Yeah."
I'm not going to do it out loud because it was below the mic. If you guys are watching this through headphones, I'm doing you a courtesy.
You are.
Yeah.
There you go.
Courtesy
next.
Done with.
Yeah. We had a Cedric Alexander package. He's coming back soon.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm excited about that. I wonder what they're going to have him do. I kind of want to see a heel Cedric Alexander, be honest with you. I think he could do that. I think he's got the confidence. He's got like the comfortability when he talks. I really want to see him as a heel. I want to see that. Because I feel like during his first run, like we got to see what he could do in the ring. He's obviously a very charismatic guy. It's just he might be hampered by normal babyface guy.
Yeah. Thing. I mean, we saw, his match against Kota Ibushi during the Cruiserweight Classic tournament, and it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm,
Great storytelling.
Yeah.
Since then, we've seen glimpses of that, but we really haven't seen him given an opportunity to put that all together.
Right.
And I hope that's what happens.
Yeah.
Because he's great. He has star potential.
Oh, absolutely.
Huge star potential.
Then we had Akira Tozawa versus Brian Kendrick. This kind of felt maybe like a blow-off, maybe.
No.
You don't
think
so?
The finish didn't, no. The finish really didn't.
It was a clean win, but then Kendrick attacked. So it was a fantastic match. You're probably right about this. It was a fantastic match. I love the bit where Brian Kendrick hit the...
Oh, sliced bread on the outside? Sliced
bread number two on the outside.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a lot of fun. There was one part where... this was afterwards. So Tozawa got the reversal. That's right. He tried to hit sliced bread number two again in the ring to get the win, but Tozawa was able to reverse it,
and
got
get
the roll up
and get the pin.
And it
yeah.
was a roll up pin. You're right. It wasn't the snap, the German suplex, the snap suplex that he does. And then afterwards, Brian Kendrick attacked him. It feels like we're on the verge of blow off though, because Kendrick beat the crap out of Tozawa afterwards, and he put him in like the steel steps.
Yeah,
and he started like beating him on there. Then he said, "This is your final lesson." What did he say? Something like, "Don't mess with Brian Kendrick."
Yeah.
I think that's what the final lesson was. And then he jammed the microphone into the dude's mouth,
yeah,
which was awesome. Which was fantastic.
So this definitely was not a blow off match.
Yeah, this wasn't a blow off, but man, it was really good. And I'll get to it in the questions, but somebody has a really good questions about something. That's a really good question about what they need to do at 205 Live.
Okay.
That we haven't even talked about before.
I had a point that I forgot it. Mm. Bummer.
Tozawa, Brian Kendrick on the outside, blow off, microphone. Mm. Ooh, no, yeah, nothing.
It's one of those days, man.
Yeah, it's fine. This was a really fantastic main event that further illustrated why they need this in front of a different crowd.
Yes.
Because the crowd is kind of on their hands, though. That was kind of the problem.
But it was better than most weeks.
Yeah, well, they're in England. They like when they get to see their, you know, their WWE product live.
But also, it was a well-booked, well-paced show that featured mm-hmm. a lot of really, well, two really good matches.
It's just they have to be excellent to get a mediocre reaction.
I know.
And that's the problem.
That's a bummer, I know.
That's the big bummer. NXT was next.
Yes, another good show.
Another fantastic episode. It opened up. I was watching this with my niece because she knows I'm a huge Aleister Black fan. So, of course, I say, because I was telling her, she's like, what, 13? I was saying to Leah, I was like, would it be weird? I was like, I point to Aleister Black and I say, I want to be like him. I want to look exactly like that guy. Would it be cool, like, if I did that? And I was like, if your friends came over and they saw me in a black leather vest, like little chones, some cool boots, tats everywhere. Obviously, I can't do the beard.
No.
But I don't know why you say it like that. And then, like,
I'm just agreeing with you.
Right. But you seem to take some pleasure into it. You like when I don't get what I want to do. That's the problem.
No, that's not true at all.
No, it is. You're smiling right now. You're literally smiling right now.
I don't.
You are actually the worst person I know.
No.
So I was like, would that be weird if I'm just sitting there?
Well, can
I
tell you that it's not going to happen?
What's not going to happen? The beard?
All of it.
Oh, I can do the rest of it. I can get the tattoos and the cool hair.
Well, you could.
I could.
You remember it took a year and a half for him to get that tattoo on his back.
Yeah, but I think I have more money than he does on the indie circuit anyways.
Hey.
What?
No, you don't.
On the indie circuit, I probably do.
Have you not been following the news? As far as YouTube? Mm.
Well, a month ago anyways. hey, if you want to get Patreon, donate so I can get a giant tattoo. And I can get it. Won't take me a year and a half and like 18 different visits. Aleister Black goes to the tattoo parlor. I got $50 more. Can I shade in the face? Well, that's going to be about 60. Damn it. Shade in a cheek.
Yeah.
Then 2 weeks goes by. I got paid again. You can get that tattoo in a week and a half. You're willing to sit there. If you have the money, you're willing to sit there a year and a half. You're a brat. Anyways, Aleister Black, I love him.
Oh, man. He's fantastic.
But, you know, Talia immediately wanted. We're thinking of doing. Talia wants to do live reactions to NXT on my personal channel. She just wants to get on one of the channels. And I said, you're not getting on Steven Larson's channel. Nobody wants to see that, like a little millennial teeny bop or whatever they are. They're annoying. Anyways, might do it on my channel, though. He took on some fella named Cesar Bononi. Ah, Cesar. You better get your ass kicked.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a match, although...
Cesar laid into Aleister a little bit more.
Yeah, he got some offense.
Like Keanu Reeves
did. But still, it was about a three-minute match.
Mm. It was fantastic. God, it was so good. It was so... The precision
of Aleister Black's striking...
Oh, my God.
...is pretty remarkable.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The fact that he does it so fast, so precise, and apparently doesn't hurt anybody.
I'll say this, though. He needs to stop doing the thing where he runs towards the rope as if he's going to do a suicide dive. But instead of doing that, don't do that anymore.
You worry about him blowing out his knees?
No. No. That looks way too cruiserweight. Don't do that. Don't do that. They're going to think that you should be on 205 Live.
No, I don't think that's the case.
I'm just saying, if you want to be safe.
Because Sami Zayn does stuff like that.
Make sure you don't be. I know. And if Sami Zayn came up now, he'd be on 205 Live, man.
Wouldn't.
They'd put him there. I
no,
guarantee it. Absolutely.
You're ridiculous.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
You have this anxiety that they're going to put him on 205 Live because he had one match against Neville in Austin Aries.
Oh, and he's got another one. They literally Instagrammed a picture of him with Neville.
I told you why I think that is. It's not because he's going to 205 Live. I think it's because they have that much confidence in him that they're going to put him in a high-profile match. A title match.
What title? If he wins that title, where is he going to be defending
He's not going to win the title at a live event.
Answer the question. If he won that title. He would be in 205
Live, but that's not going to happen.
That's what you just said. Aleister Black confirmed.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways,
going in Raw, respected news source.
Well,
205 Live.
That is definitely not
breaking here. Larson confirmed it.
So Aleister Black wins with a black mask kind of out of nowhere.
Oh, that was beautiful. Now, I like this because you got to see, contrary to before when it was large, I mean, look, this was a squash match for the most part.
Yes.
It wasn't a squash, but it was a squash. But you got to see Aleister Black and his heightening anger when somebody would challenge
him. But here's the thing, too. Have you noticed that every one of Aleister Black's opponents have been larger than him?
Yes. And that gives me hope about the 205.
He's not going to 205.
I know.
He is not.
But it's already been confirmed here.
Not confirmed.
I'm going to give these notes out to one of our $10 patrons.
Okay.
It's a random one, so if you're a $10 patron, you don't get it. I'm sorry. Confirmed 205 Live.
No.
Aleister Black versus Cesar Bononi, though. The thing that I love about it, the thing that I love about the Black Mass especially, is that...
Continue.
The thing that I love about it is that they're telling his opponents to drop like a sack of potatoes when you get hit by it. There's no going back. It's clump.
It's instant knockout.
It's instant knockout.
Which is how it should be treated.
I know. They just collapse like a sack of potatoes, and it's fantastic.
Cesar Bononi sold it fantastically last night.
Oh, my goodness.
It was really good. It was a great
sell. Cesar Banana, he is done.
Great sell. So after that.
Hey, he looked good, though. That Cesar,
yeah,
dude.
He
looked good.
Yeah.
I hope he goes a long way.
Next, we had William Regal. This is from last week's show. Chasing down Asuka backstage after the conclusion of last week's episode, saying to her, you're going to face all three women.
At TakeOver Chicago, you'll face all four of them. All three of them. How many are there? Now there's two of them.
Yes, now there's two. Now it's a triple threat. Right after that, we got an Ember Moon injury update. Apparently, she has a grade one shoulder strain. She's going to be out for a few weeks.
I have an idea. I have an idea for Ember Moon. I have an idea for her.
Okay.
So here's the thing, man. She's gone from mystical being who's running around the floor. I always loved that.
Well, they never established her as any sort of mystical being.
Okay, but do you
know? Her packaging seemed to potentially... imply that, but it was never established.
Interruption. Interesting. Another interruption from Coldwater Larson. Let me finish my thought. Remember those, like, one of the earliest video packages showed her, like, it was in the dark, and she was on the Full Sail campus, which has made it funny because they didn't acknowledge that, but she's like, she had her mask on and her cool red eyes, and she was like lurking, and they're like, and it made it, give me my pen back, and it made it look like she was just, I don't know, doing what on the Full Sail campus at night. Like, remember it was at night? She was, like, lurking. There was definitely lurking going on.
Vaguely.
Okay. Made her look like she was a mysterious person.
Okay,
she's
this
mysterious person. So they gave her the red eyes and stuff. And then she comes out, and slowly, they chip away at this thing. And now she's just straight up a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, evidently, according to the Wrestling Observer, that injury, the shoulder one, it had nothing to do with her being launched into
the
barricade. Yeah, that was storyline. Apparently, it's covering for another injury that she actually does have that's more related, I think, to the arm, but that wasn't confirmed in the wrestling.
Interesting.
Apparently, it was, but she's going to be out 4 to 5 weeks.
That's a great sell on her part, then.
No kidding, I know, because it looked rough.
Oh, yeah.
I accidentally saw it last night because they showed it like on a replay, and I was like, oh, man, I could see how that would hurt.
It was because got tossed out of the ring, she put her arm out, I think, to catch... or try to brace her fall on the guardrail, so like her arm got pinned back a little bit, you know?
Well, I just saw like shoulder hit barricade. That's what I
know,
saw.
Because her shoulder got...
Right, yeah.
You know, bent backwards.
But happened so fast that it was kind of hard for me to tell. But evidently there's... I don't know what the actual injury is, but apparently there's something else, but that was done storyline.
Interesting.
But it was kind of interesting that they would do that storyline-wise because that happens, and then Regal says, you're facing three of them. I would have thought they would have said, oh, she's injured. Can she make it to take over?
Maybe it was a situation where... Yeah, I don't know.
It's, I mean, but they, she still wrestled that match, so maybe they didn't realize there was injury. I have no idea. But
maybe they thought she was injured because of that fall, and the injury they found wasn't related to the fall, but something else. I don't know.
That could be. I have no idea.
I don't know.
It's Meltzer. Who knows? Usually he's good. But anyways, I got an idea. Like they should bring her from like mystical being on the Full Sail campus to Full Sail student, and then she like becomes a regular college kid, and that's her gimmick. And then, you know, college kids, they like the marijuana. So she's like a stoner. And then when they bring her up to Maine, who do they team her with? Dude Harper. There you go.
Exactly,
and he's got his Eric Rowan now converted to being on the same, you know, on the same wavelength.
I'll be honest,
man.
With you, that's a frustratingly terrible idea.
Let me ask you something. You wouldn't like if they booked it right. Number one, if they book it right, anything is good. If they book it right, Dude Harper, Ember Moon, Eric Rowan, all as stoners. Weed is legal everywhere now.
Not true.
You can literally get on a plane with weed and take it to another country, and you're totally in the good.
Not true, and I'd strongly advise anybody listening to the show that believes what Steve is saying to not do that.
Don't do that. Here's a good piece of advice. Don't listen to me.
Yeah. Yes.
You're saying that with too much verve.
Just agreeing with you.
Ember Moon, just like, look. Here's the thing that she has going for. This is why I'm glad they're not doing the Mystique thing anymore. Because she does come off as a very charming person.
Yeah, she's totally relatable.
She's so relatable. She's like girl next door relatable. I would want to see her as stoner college kid, along with Dude Harper. And we need another name for Eric Rowan. Just Eric.
Okay. That's actually good.
Who's that, man?
That's the best part of your whole idea.
Who's that, man? That's my friend Eric. Oh, hey, Eric.
Doesn't talk.
Come on, man. Who doesn't love that? I'm telling you.
That's the only good part of your idea.
It's solid. It's solid.
No, Eric is the only good part of that idea.
His name is just Eric. It's like, and he'd be like the Brad Pitt from True Romance
character. Yeah, yeah,
Where's Ember Moon, man? I don't know, man. Tell me that's not a good idea. You're coming around to it.
The Eric part's a good
idea.
You're
coming around to it. Ember Moon would work perfectly there. Because she is. She's like somebody you know. That'd be perfect. I'm telling you. Somebody pitch that. That'd be great. And she can wear like the socks that have like weed leaves all over it. That'd be great. Anyways, come on. That's good. So then there is God, I love Pete Dunne.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Man, I want to marry that guy. He's fantastic. Pete Dunne is fantastic.
There was a pretty steady stream here.
Those guys are going to have a match of the year candidate.
Yeah, of interview and video packages right here. We had a Pete Dunne video package. He's great.
Yeah.
Had a Ruby Riott video package where she went to a tattoo parlor to get a new tattoo.
Yeah.
That was pretty solid.
Yeah.
And after that was this amazing Nikki Cross interview. That was so great.
Oh, my God. I want to marry Nikki Cross. She's the best. She is fantastic.
She is so invested in her character.
Oh, it's great.
It's great.
There's nobody like her.
No.
There is nobody like her. They try to do a sit-down interview with her, and it goes the exact way it should go. Like, first of all, a guy comes up to her with a lapel mic and a little receiver box.
And wants to, you know, put it on.
Wants to put it on her. And she just, what does she do? She kind of bites at him, snaps at him, and he's like, he turns around like as if to talk to the producer. I don't know how to do this. And then she attacks him, grabs the microphone from him, and then she like jumps up in the chair, and like she starts kind of talking, and she's like, "Where's my title?
Yeah,
where's Eska?
Yeah,
where's Eska? Where's my title?"
And so they put up some color bars,
yeah,
as to signify, you know, a passage of time,
right?
And they come back, and she's like tapping the boom mic.
Yeah.
And they say, "Nikki, don't do that, please." And she just keeps doing
it. And then she like stands up. She gets up from her chair and she starts talking to the camera. And she just gets moving closer and closer into the camera.
She moves out of her light. So she's silhouetted.
It's just silhouetted. You can see the light in the background still. Yeah. And she just keeps on getting closer and closer to the camera until it's just nothing but blackness and her voice whispering.
Really well done.
It was really well done. That was so perfectly executed. God, that was good. God, I love NXT. Next up, we had the stud Drew McIntyre in an interview talking about
how he wants to get the NXT title.
Yeah.
And that if he learned anything in the last 3 years, that if you're not given opportunities, you need to make your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As he says that, Wesley Blake.
Yeah. He wants to get murdered, apparently, because
he
doesn't stand a chance against.
No. So I'm guessing they'll have a match next week.
Yeah.
On NXT.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. What he's going to get. Oh.
Yeah, he's going
to
lose.
I want to see that happen so bad. Literally would love to see like an Apollo Creed, Ivan Drago situation. Remember how that ended up?
Mm-hmm.
You watched that when you were a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were you as disturbed? Let me ask you something. What were you let me ask you something, though. What were you more disturbed by watching as a kid? RoboCop or Ivan Drago, Apollo Creed?
I was younger. I mean, Rocky IV came out first.
But there wasn't a lot of separation there. A
couple years.
That was 86, wasn't it? Or was it 85?
Rocky IV, I think it was 86, but I thought RoboCop was 87 or 88.
No.
I thought so. No. Well, regardless, I saw RoboCop well after I saw Rocky IV.
Okay.
Rocky IV.
RoboCop was 87.
I saw Rocky IV in theaters.
Okay.
I think it was 84, 85 was Rocky
IV. Oh, 85. Okay, you're right. It's a couple years.
I saw Rocky IV in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That was traumatic.
Kind of a wash for me, to be honest with you.
But by the time I saw RoboCop, because I think I watched it on video at home.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the kind of the humor of the movie kind of kept it from being as disturbing,
really?
Probably, yeah.
Interesting. See, I'm a little bit younger than you, but yeah, I think I was more disturbed by... See, Rocky IV came off as more real to me, because I think at the time I might have actually believed the people, like what mm-hmm. was happening was mm-hmm. real. I thought the Rocky series was a documentary,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt more real to me. But RoboCop was just the meanest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
And it's specifically the hand.
Yeah,
part
yeah.
When Red Foreman goes, and it's funny because like it was a long gulf of time between watching it as a kid and then watching it older. But I thought that the hand bit was so disgustingly violent. And then I went back and watched it. And it is so disgustingly violent. It is so messed up. Anyways,
it is messed up. The whole movie is very violent.
Yeah, Wesley Blake is going to get murdered. DIY then cut a promo. Oh, man.
essentially, they were saying that the line for a shot of the tag title
Which
starts
with
them.
They're great. Yeah, they can do no wrong in my book.
Yes.
You know who can do wrong in my book? Tino Sabatelli and, what's his name, Riddick Moss?
Yeah.
Oh, they're so bad. It's as if they're around to remind us how good everything else is.
Well, they're still in the developmental process.
They've been in developmental process for a very long time.
Neither of them had wrestling experience before joining NXT. They're both former football players.
One thing my niece pointed out about Tino is that his butt cheek was kind of hanging out from his trunks.
Mm.
And I noticed that his trunks were still taut. I think he has a really large set of butt cheeks because they're too big for his trunks. He needs somebody to get him some custom. I think his trunks aren't custom. He needs somebody to measure out his trunks to...
No, they're custom because they have his name on back.
I think that, you pick out the base pair and then somebody customizes them.
I think that's
for the
case
superficial
for
stuff.
You think everybody gets their trunks tailored?
I think he needs I don't know, but he needs tailored trunks to accommodate his extra large butt. Or wear like a janitor's outfit like Eric Rowan, or as we're calling him at this point, simply Eric.
Eric, yes.
Oh, and he can wear the same thing as his day job. He can do like at night he's a janitor.
Janitor, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He listens to podcasts about weed.
Yeah.
So anyways, they come out. You know what? It's as if Moss and Sabatelli's gimmick is WCW wrestler circa 2000. Because you see the mat. So we're doing a review of New Blood Rising.
Yeah.
And you see the match that had
Jim
Drake, O'Hare, Palumbo, all those guys who were literally the exact same person, except Sean O'Hare had some actual talent.
Yeah, he did. He was fantastic.
That dude was actually really
good. Was really good. Anyways,
these guys reminded me of them.
When we review that, sorry. Yes.
I'd like they're and so maybe they can make that into a gimmick. I think that's the only way they can kind of get over is if they do the Emelina thing to them.
Yeah.
Anyways,
maybe call them the New Blood.
They call them the, what do they call those guys? The Natural Born Thrillers.
Who?
In WCW.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I mean, the teams, the perfect event was Stasiak and Palumbo.
And I guess there is some backstory. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Anyways, Moss Sabatelli, they say the line starts behind us, not you. So that led to a match. DIY easily picked up the win against Moss.
Yes, after the match,
Sabatelli.
William Regal comes out.
Perfect event 2.0.
Yeah, William Regal comes out and starts to essentially tell him, you get your title shot. Paul Ellering and the Authors of Pain come out, and Ellering, does his perfect promo about essentially saying, eh.
There was one small itty bitty tiny moment here that I kind of marked out for. And it's when Regal, he's out there, Paul Ellering, he's done with his stuff.
Regal seemed like he was having a good time during that segment, didn't he?
I know. Because he said this, he says, "Hold on, Paul, let me tell you what the stipulation is." And the fact that he said Paul, as if, because you know, they've known each other for probably 30 years.
Yeah.
He said, "Hold on, Paul." It's as if, because I've never really seen, I mean, yeah, I think we've probably seen Regal interacting with Paul Ellering to a degree before.
Yeah.
But it was just,
there was a familiarity
to it that was so good. And it was so there, and it was just, you cannot replicate that with two people who don't know each other.
Yes.
"Hold on, Paul, let me tell you the stipulation."
Yeah.
And he says, "What?" And then what did he say? He's going to be in a steel cage?
Ladder match.
Ladder. Oh, that's right. "I'm going to hang those titles above the ring, Paul.
In a ladder match."
In a ladder match. And of course, yeah, neither the authors of Pain are happy with that because they're big fellas and they don't really want to climb a ladder. Anyways.
They do a really good job in NXT of booking matches that a team that's smaller, like DIY, mm-hmm. it's believable for them to win.
Right, exactly.
Same thing happened with the triple threat with DIY, the Revival, and Authors of Pain. Great booking.
Boy, and such a...
That was a fantastic
freaking
match.
Great match, man. This next part I loved. Again, God, this is such a strong episode of NXT.
They packed a lot.
Look at the size of your notes for NXT. That's a lot of stuff.
They packed a lot
into
the show.
And it's an hour. It's amazing. Cassius Ohno, was being given an interview backstage. I don't think it was interview bot, but it also wasn't the new blonde girl who showed up later.
Yes.
So I don't know who this person was.
Yeah, Ohno, Chris Hero, talked about how... essentially his disappointment mm-hmm. not claiming the NXT title mm-hmm. a few weeks back because that's what he returned to NXT for. He said, "You know, I've been there before. I've had disappointment when I was released 3.5 years ago. And when you get knocked down, you get back up."
Sure.
And as he finishes that sentence, Andrade Cien Almas,
oh, yeah.
dressed, ready to go out clubbing.
Yeah, Chris Hero called him Mr. Tranquilo.
Yeah. and Chris Hero said, "You seem to care more about what happens after the match than the match itself."
Yeah, and then Andrade Cien Almas looked at the female interviewer.
I know.
I don't know if that was on purpose, but he kind of licked his lips when.
It seemed very much on purpose.
I think it was.
Because I noticed that too.
How do you not love that? That's so great. Oh, that's fantastic. It's so subtle, but it's so not subtle.
So they're going to have a match next week.
Well, yeah, and then Ohno said, "How about you and I? We have a match next week." And as he backs up, he goes, "Okay." And then Ohno just says, "Okay." Great way to end the interview. Oh, God, I love it all. Next up, we got a Tyler Bate package.
That was kind of the...
be 19, but I'm still a man who can beat anybody up.
I think it was the same package they had during the UK tournament.
I know.
They just put new B-roll in.
They put new pictures of him with his hair all floppy. They got pictures of tired Bate.
After that.
19, I'm used to being in school.
After that, they had it was going to be the main event, and they did brief interviews with each of the participants, Roderick Strong, Hideo Itami, backstage, seemingly at Gorilla, before they made their way to the ring. And there was an interesting bit of timing, and I wonder if it was purposeful, where the interviewer asked Roddy a question.
Mm-hmm.
And they started his theme, where it's like a delicate piano piece, like they were trying to make it really emotional.
I know, I thought the same.
And then he said, "Well, I'm going out there to do what I came here to do."
Yeah.
Like they were trying to make it an emotional moment, but I wasn't sure if that was coincidence.
I just like that his you're right, his theme music starts off with a very really delicate piano melody.
I know.
Yeah. I thought it was good. You know what? And there's some word about, I think it was in the Observer also, about how backstage the officials were really, really happy
with how those video packages
mm-hmm. played out and the reception to them. And I think they were really strong. And
they were.
Like, now I kind of like, at first when I looked at when I saw the video packages, I was like, well, does this make me care about him in the ring? It honestly did. Like it worked. Like in practice, it worked. That was a really, really well done, well thought out idea.
Yeah.
And well executed.
And it certainly helped that the main event last night was fantastic.
Oh, it was, dude, they let this thing go for like 20 minutes. Like,
I don't know how they got that much stuff in.
I know. As packed as this was, they let that match go for 20 minutes. I looked at it was like a 57. I think the actual show was 57 minutes long, and it was at the 37-minute mark that I kind of noticed they're going to let this go for a while.
Yeah. And it was stiff. It was fast-paced.
Oh, so good. Did you notice Hideo Itami? So they did the same thing with him. They gave him an interview with the new blonde interview bot, and he had already had like...
Oh yeah.
Like
he had some welts.
Yeah. Did he have a match earlier in the tapings? He had a match against somebody like 2 weeks ago, I think. I'm trying to remember. I think maybe it was Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Somebody like that.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, he was doing double duty. Because the crowd was kind of... Crowd wasn't into it. This was a takeover level match.
Oh, yeah.
And the crowd wasn't... I think this was like the tail end of
it. It was about halfway through the match before the crowd really got into it.
I always notice our friend O'Karen. They're right in the front row.
Yes.
Yeah. What a lucky ducky she is, man, getting those front row seats. Anyways, I want to be front row for Aleister Black.
Yeah.
I want to be like... I want to touch you.
And then he's going to give you a black mask.
Oh, my God. What would you do if he did that?
I'd probably, like, be knocked out.
Oh, you'd say you...
Oh, no, if you did that? If it happened to you?
If it happened to me and you're standing next to me, which you would be.
I'd probably do something like this.
And everybody would tweet us your reactions. Yeah, this is a fantastic match. Deo Itami ended up going over with the GTS, but man, both
the finish
guys...
was great, and commentary really sold it well. Where Roderick Strong didn't want to give up.
Yeah, he had given everything he had was gone. He was like a walking shell of
a human being. And the transition into the GTS was great because Roderick got up, was like pushing Hideo in the face.
Yeah,
he did kind of like a wild swing.
Yeah, a really last desperation swing.
Hideo ducked it, picked him up into the GTS, delivered it, got the pin. Yeah. Great match.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Fantastic.
And it was the, you know, respect shown between both guys.
Yeah, Hideo helped up Roderick Strong after the match. They had a brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
Roderick went backstage.
So next week is the go-home for TakeOver.
Yes.
I didn't look at the spoilers for the
tapings.
Nor
have I.
So I'm assuming was what happened next probably at the same tapings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, boy, my goodness, that crowd's going to be exhausted.
Yes, especially after the main event.
Yeah, no kidding. Because I mean, I guess they're going to have a face off between Bobby Roode and Hideo Itami. I would imagine.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Something between DIY and
Authors of Pain.
Do we know who Aleister Black is facing at the? No. Hmm. Question: who is AB fighting?
You want to answer some questions?
TakeOver. Yeah, let's answer some questions.
All right. Here, you read this name better than me.
Manuel Garcia de Perez.
Thank you. Hey, friendos, if you could book a video package with the backstory of Sanity, how would it be? He could imagine Eric Young being a warden in a criminally insane prison and recruiting Nikki and Alexandra Wolf.
Oh, I'm not sure I can do better now. That's good.
Pretty good.
That's really good. I was just going to say they're like, you know, so for a short period of time, about 8 months, 6 months, 8 months, something like that, I lived in like literally Hollywood, you know, and it's like A, a tourist trap, and B, a homeless trap, or it's like a squatter, not a squatter trap, but a lot of ruffians reside down there in Hollywood proper. And I would just think it'd be like there's a lot of pee smell in Hollywood. And I would just think it's like, you know, you're in an apartment. It's like some people squatting in an old abandoned apartment type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a back alley lot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that hasn't been developed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you pick up your story.
Mm-hmm. That's good, too.
That's all I have, man. That's all I have.
Yeah, I can't do better than that.
Let's see here. Oh, okay. So this is a question. Hold on. I liked this question. And so I am going to look at this question. It's probably down here.
I'll read Mr. Funny Bones' question.
There
then. Hey, friendos, after 205 Live last night, I honestly believe they should draft some cruiserweights to the main roster when the next shakeup comes around. With that being said, which four cruiserweights would you draft? Two go to Raw and two go to SmackDown. Thanks. So we're taking cruiserweights from 205 Live onto Raw and SmackDown. Mm. I would send Austin Aries. And
okay,
Jack Gallagher to SmackDown.
Okay.
And I would send Neville and Cedric Alexander to Raw.
Okay, that sounds good. You can't decimate 205 Live, though. So you got to...
No.
Let's supplement. Let's take some guys who are technically cruiserweights from Raw and SmackDown, put them on.
Yes.
No, let's do this. Let's do four for three. Let's do one from SmackDown, one from Raw, and then one from NXT.
Okay.
I would say Kalisto.
From Raw, yeah.
Yeah, from Raw.
I'm going to say Dolph. From SmackDown.
That'd be interesting. How tall is Dolph?
Oh, I don't know.
5'11"?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
But he's under 205.
I associate him, you're right, but that's because he's really thin. I associate him with bigger guys, though.
Oh, I know, because he's fought larger competitors his entire career. But it might be an interesting...
Who are you talking about, SmackDown?
Yeah, it might be interesting to send him with the wealth of experience he's had fighting heavyweights.
That's true.
Go to 205 Live and try to reinvent himself, essentially.
Who else is on SmackDown?
Sami Zayn?
No.
I know.
Yeah.
Aiden English. I don't know if he's a cruiserweight.
Oh, yeah. Let me think about the cruiserweights. He might be too tall. I mean, I'm thinking of the tag division, rather.
He's 6'3", 215. So, yeah, he's too large.
Yeah, he's too big. He'd have to be really thin. Who's in their tag division? What tag? I wouldn't break
Chad
up the
Gable.
Fashion police. Oh, there you go. Chad Gable. Break up American Alpha. I'm done with them. I like this question. James Rodriguez. Do you think 205 Live could benefit from having their own version of TakeOver? Yes, yes, yes.
100%
You need a place to showcase their blow-off matches.
Yes.
You need that because right now all they have is the Raw pay-per-views. They're allotted one match and maybe a pre-show match.
Yes.
And that's always for the it's always for the main match is always for the title. You need a showcase. You need something special. You need a live show that will that with its own crowd.
Yes.
And we can finally see these guys get the reception that they deserve. How disheartening must it be to be on the roster spot where, or in the roster grouping where you know you're not going to get a reaction beyond like maybe if you do like live touring shows, you'll probably get a reaction there. You're not going to get a reaction. And people are conditioned not to give you a reaction during Raw because they don't give you a reaction during your own show.
Yeah.
So give them their own thing.
Yes,
at least in the realm of like a takeover type thing.
I agree. Tommy T. Hello, Steve and Commissioner Larson. I have a weird question, but is NXT doomed to fail in its current form? Eventually, won't the roster become too stacked because right now I can't think of more than 10 superstars to release to make room just because everyone has their place.
WWE finds places for people. Like they are still to this day. There was a thing in the Observer that said, they're sending out several recruiters or scouts to a wealth of indie shows in the United States coming up very shortly.
Yes.
They're always on the lookout for talent. They will find a place. They will create a new show. The thing about NXT is that it is the top rated weekly show on the network.
Yes.
If you take out the pay-per-views, NXT is always one or two.
And if the roster gets, you know, even more stacked on NXT, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised they had a second hour.
I wouldn't be surprised about that. I wouldn't be surprised if they added a mid-level belt.
Yeah. Well, if they add a second hour, then a mid-level belt would be almost a necessity.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that, no, I think that NXT is only destined to get better, to be honest with you.
Yes, me too.
Like, more talent is not a
and
problem.
And if they get to the point where they say, okay, NXT is both developmental brand and also a third
actual brand,
main
yeah.
roster brand, then... You know, it'd be interesting to make that if they consider that the third main roster brand to have that as network only.
Yeah,
to see how that fares.
Yeah.
So in the future, you know, if their potential TV contract isn't to their liking, they can say, okay. I mean, this is probably a long ways away.
Yeah.
Because still, their TV contract, I believe, is their main source of revenue.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
And it's not even close.
Yeah.
But to kind of test the water, okay, what if we control completely our distribution?
Mm-hmm.
Could be interesting litmus test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that would be way down the line, though.
Oh, yes. Way down the line.
I know several people have asked Meltzer on Twitter what the subscriber count number would have to be.
Like a ridiculous number.
I think it'd have to be at least... Yeah, I don't know. I forget what the number was.
Because I think the latest financial results said it was, the network had about 1.5 million subscribers.
Yeah.
And usually Raw and SmackDown draws about 3 million viewers, roughly. So about half the people who watch subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even if you...
Which is actually an insane number if you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But even I think if everybody subscribed, all 3 million subscribed...
You would need probably double the number of the actual people who watch the product.
To make up for the TV revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like literally the number of fans just aren't there.
Yes. Not right now, at least. Yeah. Next.
Let's see here. This is La Sombra Barrow asks, do you think that Ember Moon missing NXT TakeOver Chicago will hinder her momentum and her in the long run? No, I don't. I think she's ready for Maine right now.
Yes. As long as she's still on TV while she recuperates, she'll be fine.
This is a good point, too. Tim Morris says it could work in her favor, gives her the chance to slightly hit the reset button I do feel like they need to. She is sort of one of the only people, one of the only high profile characters on NXT that they're kind of. We've talked about this a lot. They're kind of uncertain as to, wait, is she a mystical character? Is she not? So she, they need to find a solid.
She
direction.
Did say at the end of her interview this week, when I come back, I'm going to come back better than ever.
Yeah, okay.
So when she said that, I thought, okay, maybe they'll do a little bit of a reset.
Yeah, honestly, all it needs is them sort of sticking, figuring out a direction and sticking
yes.
with it.
But and she, being all in on it.
She is so, like, the thing is, like, it's kind of masked with her because she is so polished.
Oh, yeah.
She is so polished.
The Nightcrawler. Hey, friendos, I have a confession. Even though I think both are really amazing, I enjoy Hideo Itami far more and think he belongs on main just as much or more than Aleister Black. Ooh, so wow. considering that, I'm curious why it is when they say Hideo Itami might go to 205 Live, you both kind of seem to agree it's good for Hideo and 205 Live, but when they say Aleister Black is probably going there, you both seem to think it's an insult to Aleister.
Because we have different opinions on both those competitors. I am a massive fan of Aleister Black, and I'm a fan of Hideo Itami. I honestly just think that Hideo Itami fits with Austin Aries, fits with Neville, fits with a lot of those guys. Aleister Black fits as their universal and world champion.
I think a lot of it is because of Aleister Black's packaging. That entrance seems, and granted, I know he does it every week at the NXT arena.
Mm-hmm.
That entrance seems ready for WrestleMania, basically.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, that the way he's been packaged so far, it's plainly obvious they see him as a main event player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would agree that Hideo Itami is ready to go up to the main roster now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think we know Aleister Black's packaging, and based on that, we get an idea of what his character is.
Mm-hmm.
But we really have no firsthand knowledge of what his character is.
Right.
And they need to develop that before he gets brought up to main.
Yeah.
But Hideo Itami's ready to go up to main or 205 Live. Well, 205 Live is main.
Yeah.
It's the main roster because they wrestle on Raw.
Yeah.
And I think if and when they get to the point where 205 Live competitors will wrestle people outside of the Cruiserweight division, then giving people an opportunity to be on 205 Live, but also do more on the main roster, I think that'd be a great benefit to everybody, including Hideo, if he ends up there.
I also just thought about this while you were yapping away. Hideo will thrive on 205 Live.
Oh, immediately.
Hideo will get lost on the
potentially,
main roster.
Potentially, yes.
I firmly believe that. Aleister Black will dominate main roster. Could, like, legitimately dominate main roster.
Yeah.
Like, you could see him in the sky high role.
Yeah.
You know, you totally could. God, could you imagine him versus Brock Lesnar? Him versus Shinsuke? God, there's so many.
Him versus
so many
Shinsuke
matchups.
Would be something else.
Oh, that'd be absolutely fantastic.
And we say, you know, like, we think Hideo fits on 205 Live. It's not, you know.
We literally call 205 Live, like, the second best program.
Yeah. And we don't mean it to disparage or as Hideo or all or as a sign of disrespect.
It's a lot of it, honestly, is
because this match last night was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. A lot of it is sort of just gut level thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does he fit really, really well? Mm-hmm. I think he could thrive on 205 Live. I honestly think Austin Aries, if he jumps up to, like, Raw, there's a chance he could get lost too.
Yeah.
You know, there's just.
I mean, Neville was middling on the main roster until he got hurt, came back as a cruiserweight, and now he's dominating the division.
I think there's a way to make 205 Live even stronger via the roster, via, like, NXT. And Hideo Itami fits perfectly. I just think that Aleister Black, he's got superstar written all over him. And, you know, we just know that 205 Live is not the place for guys who should be fighting for the universal title or the world title.
But here's the thing too is, you know, you mentioned competitors getting lost on Raw, but on 205 Live, they get an opportunity to wrestle every week.
Yeah.
In front of, you know, granted, not the most enthused audience, but in front of a large audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Hideo Itami is one of those competitors. I think they bring him to 205 Live. It would really increase the prestige of the show because he has the pedigree. He's wrestled in Japan.
Absolutely, yeah.
Won titles all over the place.
Yeah.
Coming off this great match with Roderick Strong, if he has a really good match with Bobby Roode,
mm-hmm.
win or lose, he's going to look great.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets brought up to the main roster, whether it's on Raw, whether it's on 205 Live or SmackDown, he's going to make an impact.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll debut regardless if he's on 205 Live or not on Raw.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
At least he should.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Smapty Jones asks, do you feel the signing of Kairi Hojo means Asuka will be moving up, and will she be the one to eventually beat her? I would think no, because, well, I don't think one means the other. I think Asuka will be moving up regardless of, you know, who they sign. I think Kari Hojo, her signing is so recent, it's going to take some time for her to do her normal stuff through the performance center, acclimate to the environment, you know, get her in front of the live crowds first, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And they'll build her up. They won't put the belt on her right away.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Because I think Asuka was in NXT for several months before she won the belt, or at least a few months.
Sounds right. Who did she win?
Bayley.
Oh, that's right. She beat Bayley for the belt. That's right, yeah. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Larson's sorry to interrupt you, champion. Dylan super kicks Scribner. Hey, speaking of Dylan, did you hear they give Dylan Miley a new name?
Yeah.
Lars something.
Sullivan?
Yeah, Sullivan. Yeah, Sullivan. He says, Dylan Scribner here says, I just went to Ring of Honor War of the Worlds Dearborn last night.
Cool.
And it was amazing. I finally got to see the villain Marty Scurll live and meet him in person. My question is, if he went to WWE, what do you guys think his ceiling would be? I think he'd be another fantastic addition to 205.
Yeah, he's going to be in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament.
That's right, yeah.
In New Japan this month, I think.
So let's take two guys from the indie ranks that we're both really, really big fans of, Marty Scurll and Ricochet.
Mm-hmm.
Ricochet, Universal Champion, is the ceiling.
Yes.
I think he's $1 million. Marty Scurll, I love the villain.
Yes.
I love Marty Scurll. I think he could do a lot to boost 205 Live's thing. I mean, it's funny. When I read that question about does 205 Live need its own version of TakeOver, like it totally clicked. I'm like, yes.
Absolutely. Desperately
need that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I love Marty Scurll. He's great, but I don't know. I know he's a smaller wrestler. I think he's 5'8".
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's probably wrestled larger competitors.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it, too, again, if they really want to build up 205 Live, he'd be a huge addition.
I know, exactly.
As a character, he would be great.
Yeah.
Great. He would be, by himself, a reason to tune into that show.
Absolutely. For sure. I would enjoy the crap out. I'd probably enjoy it more than SmackDown and Raw.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Like it's not a knock on 205 Live. Like, it's funny because, like, It is honestly, it is the way they have approached 205 Live. It's difficult not to look at it as a place where people go who have a low ceiling. It's difficult to look at it in that manner. And I'm trying my best personally not to look at it in that manner and just simply enjoy it as its own thing. But it's so hard to do that because they don't have their own takeovers. They don't, or their own network specials. They don't have, you know, they're just sort of an afterthought on Raw. They're literally excluded from every Hulu episode of Raw. Like, they air live after SmackDown in front of a tired crowd.
Yeah, I know.
It's difficult to look at them as anything other than a place where people with a low ceiling go. But with the addition of Hideo Itami and
Also, I think with the competitors they have on there now, there's a lot of competitors on 205 Live that have high ceilings.
Yeah.
Really high ceilings.
Yeah, I know.
People that could contend for mid-card titles or Universal or World titles.
Well, I don't know. Okay, who on 205 Live can compete for a Universal title?
I still think Cedric Alexander could. He's got all the tools, man.
I know, but the jury's out on that. Like, we have no idea if he's going to break through.
Oh, I know.
And actually do it.
Austin Aries would be a perfectly believable Intercontinental Champion.
That I agree with. Universal Champion, I don't know. I don't have the faith that they would. Look, I'm a huge Austin Aries fan.
Yeah.
Would I mark out if he won the Universal title? Of course I would. You would too.
Yeah.
Do I see him as believable in the current landscape of the Universal title scene?
Well, I mean, Brock Lesnar's Universal Champion, so probably not. World title, maybe. Austin Aries is roughly the same size as Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point to make.
So
roughly the same size probably as Finn Balor.
Yeah. Yeah, Finn Balor is a cruiserweight.
Yeah.
By the definition of a cruiserweight. Yeah. He is a cruiserweight.
I know.
And that's kind of what I still feel like if they want... One thing they need to do with cruiserweights is have them wrestle other main roster wrestlers who are not cruiserweights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even think if they did Neville versus Finn Balor. I know Finn Balor's a cruiserweight by the definition, but he's not on 205 Live.
Yeah.
It'd be a great match, and it'd give Neville a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Have Austin Aries wrestle Seth Rollins. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
That would be great, like they did in WCW. Granted, more often than not, the cruiserweights wrestle to the cruiserweights, but every now and again, they would wrestle heavyweights, and they'd be given chances to compete for heavyweight belts.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I still, let me ask you this.
I know you feel like you tend to think that the 205 Live competitors should exist on 205 Live, not be on Raw, have their own thing, and more or less that's that, right?
Here's one of my reasons why, because you're bringing up specific points here that in theory I agree with, but do you believe for a second that they're going to have Neville come up, face Seth Rollins, and beat him? Like, that's my problem with it. It would just illustrate...
Well, I mean, you couldn't do that. You couldn't have Neville next week go to Raw, fight Seth Rollins. I mean...
That would be the problem, is that they would book that.
You would have to build it up.
They would either have, like, this is why I think the two missing pieces are the takeover, the 205 Live takeover specific things, and putting it in front of its own crowd. In that situation, to see how those crowds would react to people like Neville, to Austin Aries, then I would think it's much more believable to use that as a launching pad for Raw or SmackDown. Mm-hmm. But until then, you're just bringing out the guys who are used to getting no reactions from the crowd.
I know. That's kind of,
so it's like, I like what you're saying, but you need, that's like the end result of.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying this is the lone cure for what ails 205 Live, but I think it's a huge part of
it. So I wouldn't even want to see that now. I would need to see that after you've established 205 Live as places where exciting people go. Exciting people are there. We just don't know that because of the audience reaction and how WWE sort of treats 205 Live.
Yeah.
Terrible idea having them go live.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, I don't know. It's not good, man.
No, I agree.
Speaking of which, like, I just got to think about it. TakeOver Chicago is 2 weeks away.
It's the 20th.
It's the 20th. Pete Dunne's going to be taking on Tyler Bate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know this because they showed us packages, and we know they want us to know that a tournament happened to determine number one contender. Are we going to see that tournament prior to the takeover?
They don't have much time to do that.
They don't. So what are they going to do? Run the tournament to determine a number one contender for a title afterwards?
I don't know.
Run it at midnight.
I know.
put it on.
I know. Yeah, I don't.
Let me see
weird.
It.
It's strange.
It is weird.
Because they taped those two shows they did.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
And Jim Ross and Nigel McGuinness are calling it.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing it in the studio after the fact, but they got to do that. Like,
quick.
I don't want to
like
see
weekend.
I don't see a number one. I want to see all those matches as a fan, but chronologically speaking, you need to get that done.
Yeah.
You're going to show us the number one contender tournament.
After the number one contender has already fought for the belt, or maybe won it.
Or maybe won, because I think Pete Dunne's going to win that
thing. Pretty good chance that's going to happen. Pretty good shot.
How do you think Tyler Bate feels about that?
Maybe he'll get a chance to turn heel. He might like that.
Yeah, he might like that. I'm just thinking, like, I'm going to lose my title, and then they're going to debut a show where I didn't get to be on that show.
Well, maybe they think the better story is to have him chasing the belt to get it back.
Yeah, that could be. I don't care. I just want to see all those guys.
Yes.
Dana Brooks, sperm donor, asks, "Hey, Steven Larson, my question is, if Adam Cole does make his way to NXT, baby, who should his first program be with?"
It'd probably be Almas. Almas is the jobber to the stars right now.
Almas is the new Aiden English.
Eric Base Hit King Blaha. "Hey, friendos, was that Nikki Cross promo the best one ever or the greatest one ever?"
Mm.
"She seems like she's not playing a character."
She's so wonderfully she's so in that good. Role, man. She's, I wonder what she's like. Like, let me ask you something. Are we ever going to see pictures of Sanity sightseeing and touring about? We probably will, but I kind of feel like they might be the kind of cats who actually stay in character.
Could be.
There's kind of a line that, I mean, I know Braun should be past that line. I know I should let it go, and I just, you know what, if they want to sightsee, let them sightsee. I think it's great. But I wonder if there are you kind of wonder this, if any of these guys coming up are going to be true students of the old school, and there might be like a reversion to
be.
Wanting to stay
I could
in character.
See
I could see that.
Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Doing something like that.
Yeah, you're not going to see him hanging out with Hideo Itami. But like some of these new cats, you know.
Yeah. Up. Could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could be. The Down Undertaker, Zach Parks. G'day, friendos. So Aleister Black makes his own cult-type faction to go up against Sanity. Which two males and woman do you put with him? I don't want Aleister Black to be part of any faction.
Nope.
He should be a singles competitor.
Nope. Yeah. Nicholas Combs says, "I know it's never going to happen, But do you think if Nikki Cross got called up, she would fit in with the Wyatt family? Sanity's going to get called up en masse.
Yep.
That they're all going to be together.
Correct. Tranquilo Vega. What's up, friendos? With Paul Ellering still in the mix at NXT, it got me thinking. If the tag team of Loose Cannon Steve and Coldwater Larson had to pick someone to be their manager, who would it be and why?
Who's our manager, dude?
Deuce Mason.
That's a good answer.
But if I had to say someone from, you know, like historical wrestling managers.
Yeah. Kevin Sullivan. And we'd have a supernatural gimmick. You love those.
It's not a good idea.
No, it's a terrible idea.
I'm trying to think of someone.
Is Bruce Hart still alive?
How about this? CM Punk. He's not going to wrestle anymore.
No, he's not.
But if we're working the indies.
Yeah. Oh, he could do it, yeah.
Then have him be our manager.
Wait, not Bruce Hart. What's Hart was I talking about? Damn it, who is
that? Oh, Gary Hart?
Gary Hart, thank you. Apparently. Hold on. There he is.
No, he passed.
Oh, he died in 2008. What a bummer.
All right.
Look at that face, though. What a great face.
Oh, yeah. Let's do one more question.
Uno más question.
See if I can find a good one to wrap it up. Okay, here we go. Mike Dinopoulos. Yay or nay, Nikki Cross is going to have the best main roster career out of anyone not Asuka on the current NXT women's division. I thought her promo last night was outstanding.
It's hard to think Ember Moon's not going to make a huge impact.
I know.
So, like, I'm sort of kind of like thinking her. I'm trying to project as to when Sanity goes up, how that's all going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to play out similar with her vying for the women's title. You have to really appreciate the fact that, you know, instead of Damo and what's his face?
Alexander Wolf
vying for the tag titles, or Eric Young vying for a singles title. The first gold any of them are going after is Nikki Cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine if Authors of Pain weren't tag champions,
mm-hmm.
then Sanity would be pushed as top heel tag team.
Oh, yeah, I could see that, yeah.
But they don't really have a whole lot of tag matches.
Yeah.
For the most part.
We're going to answer one last
one. Okay.
Because it looks like we have a new patron, the mayor of Millville, Ryan Linkus. This guy mills about. He says, what do you think about Asuka vacating the NXT women's title and it being awarded to the tournament winner? Not huge on that, because I like that being its own thing.
Yes.
Or the tournament winner being given a title shot of their choosing. That I don't mind. That I don't mind. They'd lose, but that I don't mind.
Yeah.
So
you never know. When's the tournament going to happen? This summer?
Mm-hmm.
Say Asuka drops the belt, whether she relinquishes it or is defeated, she moves up to the main roster. Say, I mean, that'd be a pretty huge impact for whoever won the tournament.
Oh, to take the NXT title?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Wait, you mean,
let me ask you,
win the tournament and then they would, you know.
Choose the NXT women's title.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good.
And then win.
I'd like that, yeah. As long as the NXT women's title wasn't up for grabs, because I want the women's tournament to be basically a lot of people we haven't seen.
Oh, I know.
Or
I
just
know.
Barely saw in NXT.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want like Peyton Royce to be in the women's.
Oh, tournament, no. You know? I don't think that's gonna be the case. It'll be people from the indies like Candice LeRae and whatnot,
yeah.
And then some unseen, relatively unseen people from NXT.
I think, yeah, a couple of people we've seen in the
like crazy
number
Mary
one
Dobson
contender. Yeah, exactly.
Probably
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Rachel Ellering will probably be in there.
Lacey Evans, I think was her name. Yeah.
She's been on TV a couple times, so I don't know if she'd
be
in.
And then what's Ellering's Rachel Evers?
Rachel Evers, yeah.
That's what they're calling it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for our recap for NXT 205 Live. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.